You have supernatural guidance. Supernatural words come out your mouth. Demonic powers are broken. When you're led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's right.
Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them because now they think they're better than you or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit. That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. No, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Of the new, the best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
You know, as we look upon the Lord's Supper and as we reflect upon all that Jesus did to give us this wonderful and exciting gift of life. In John 15 and 12, 13 and 14, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he says, I call you my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And hearing these words, God, of course, through Jesus Christ, made it clear that this new commandment of love was so important to the daily lifestyle, and especially to the service call of ministry. Too many people are experiencing ministry without love. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. I want to look at that for us, because Paul endeavors to show love as the more excellent way. The more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I give or bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God. Love, the more excellent way. There were so many different titles I came up with, but I thought this was the best, because out of all that Paul is saying in these 13 verses of the 13th chapter, he's letting us know that love is the more excellent way. Now, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that I want you to understand and to grasp from this message is the fact that many folk are called to the limelight, the bright lights, the front lights of service, but they don't really know that what God sees and what God judges is the heart. There are a lot of people who know how to go through the rhetoric. They know how to play the role. They know what to say and when to say and how to say what needs to be said at the time it needs to be said. They know how to do the things that'll touch your heart. They know how to give the things that will bless your heart. But if they miss the essence of where all of this originates from, then all that they have done is in vain. One of the things that Paul says, and he starts off, and I like this, because he's dealing with this reality, and I think we need to hear this and see this in a practical way. He's dealing with here both voice and vision. In verse 1. Because one of the things is that there is too much voice and not enough vision. There are a lot of people who's got a lot to say, but it's not based on what should be said. It's not based upon the love of God or the power of God or the ability of God to do things through them, and they are used of God as an instrument of love to do a certain thing. Listen, strong love is love. Many times when you have to discipline and correct, it doesn't mean you don't love. It means that you love enough to make sure that they do the right thing.
When someone loves you enough to correct you, that's strong love, that's tough love, but that's real love. And may I throw out, that's good love. Because if they really love you, they will not see you on your way to destruction and don't want to say anything about it because they don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, I got news for you. Hurt the feelings now, save the soul from hell. They'll thank you later. Maybe not right now. Not when you didn't bust up their party. Not when you have caused them to realize that you see what they're trying to do and it is not of God and you bust up what they had planned. They might not understand it then, but later they will. But true love, tough love, real love will call it like it is. So many times we correct other folk and let our folk go undone. I used to hear coming up all the time, preacher and teacher's children are the worst children in the world. I beg to differ with that, but I do understand. Because sometimes you are concerned about reaching everybody else that you allow yours sometime to slip under the radar. And yet while you're there saving the world, sometime your own children are on their way to hell. Because they don't show you in their presence what they're doing, but behind your back, they have eased away from the teachings and eased away from the principles and eased away from the doctrine and the correction that they would have as any other child had those things been visible. But many times, more time is spent looking out rather than looking in. Now listen at this. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. He's talking about various tongues and the ability and the gift to speak in tongues and different languages whereby different men understand, and this means both literally and figuratively. It also means spiritually, that they are able to speak in various tongues and understand. One man like Paul, who spoke somewhere between 12 and 14 different languages fluently. And so he had the ability to speak in various earthly tongues, in various earthly languages. He had the ability to share thoughts and messages and understanding with people of various races and ethnic backgrounds. But it wasn't just held to the earth realm. He was also able to speak with angels or heavenly talk or what we call the prayer language or praying in tongues. He had that ability as well to speak in those languages. And now listen to this. He's making clear that even with the ability to speak in multiple languages of men and of angels, he says, and have not charity. Now let's park at this word charity for a moment, because when he was dealing earlier with charity and he was talking about alms and giving and supporting and helping one another, this word charity is not in effect the same or whole meaning as those tied to charitable giving. This is one of many words that hailed from the agape love or the God love, which gives us the ability to love like God. So really, when you're talking about this kind of love, it's talking about the God kind of love. Why is that so important? Because if you're going to do the God kind of work, you need to have the God kind of love. People will test you. They will try you. They will get on your last godly and ungodly nerve. And you will have to have godly love to deal with them. Now, see, those sitting in a pew who's never gotten involved in service, Christian service and so forth, can I tell you it looks a whole lot different from here than it does from there? Because from there, you don't see the real picture. You didn't know Sister So-and-so was like she was till you get on this side. You ain't know Brother So-and-so still was a hellion like he is. He's saved, but he ain't all the way converted. You didn't know and understand all that. But the Lord loves him. He loves you. He loves me. And he can still use him until he's perfected. But when you look at it from that side, it just looked like all God's children got love one for another. And that ain't so. I wish I had a helper in the house. Everybody you see singing in the choir with a smile on their face. And a lot of them don't sing with a smile on their face. It ain't because they got love in their hearts. It's because they know the song and they can sing them. And they like being in the choir. It ain't necessarily because it is the call of their life and God is using them through that spirit of love to reflect and to share with the body of Christ a message of music in love. It's because they're gifted. That's not everybody, that's somebody. Every place you see, excuse me, every preacher in the pulpit is not called to preach. Listen at this. He's called the preacher, but he ain't called to preach. When you get up here, they call you preacher and can't preach. Preacher is to preach. He can't preach unless he's been, excuse me. You first of all, God's got to say, I enlist you. I want you to preach for me. See, a preacher without a message is a preacher who wasn't sent. He just got up and went. But God's preacher has a word from God. He may not have all of the training and he may not have developed all of the abilities of a trained seminarian, but I can promise you when he gets up and gets down, you will have heard from the Lord. But all of that, even so, must be done in love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not the God kind of love, charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Here's literally what this means. I have become a whole lot of noise. Notes that are not complete. Notes that are not in uniformity or conformity. They're blurting out and making sounds. Yes, they are saying something, but what is the question? And see, people without love do a lot of talking and they do a lot of demonstrating, but the question becomes, what is being demonstrated? What are they really saying? What are they really showing? See, because it's wonderful and it's impressive to hear somebody speak in the God language. And whether they're doing it in private and you just happen to stumble upon them, or they're in public and there's a word for God, from God, for the people of God, and you hear it, it's impressive language. And you're like, oh my God, I'd love to talk like that. They've got a relationship with God, etc. But if it's not out of love, they're just talking noise. Noise. Yes, sir. No. Everything that God is saying to us to say, to others is from love. Not feelings, not emotions, not out of our likes or dislikes, but out of love. Our correction is out of love. Our instruction is out of love. Our direction is out of love. Our discipline is out of love. Everything we do is out of love. And when you recognize that love plays the main role in operation of those gifts. He goes on to verse 2, and he deals with various gifts without being a virtuous giver. Various gifts, verse 2, without being a virtuous giver. Look at what he says. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love. Look at what he says next. I am nothing. With all of these gifts, look at this, to prophesy. I ain't say prophesy. I'm talking about the gift, so that when he says what's going to happen, it happens. It comes to pass. He can speak. And then you talk to him and tell him, well, I'm having this issue and this issue, this issue and that issue. He said, oh, well, let me tell you what that's all about, because he understands all the mysteries of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit deals with him in such a way that he reveals to him the mysteries of the Word. There are many mysteries locked right in the Word that will not be unlocked until the Holy Ghost unlocks them and gives them to someone to share with you so you'll understand them. And so I don't care how educated you are, you can be a PhD and open up that Bible and don't understand what it says, because there are mysteries encoded in that word. That amazes me, how God will send a PhD to sit under a man with a GED. And that little country preacher or whomever he may be with a GED can minister the word so that he or she who has a PhD understand it when they couldn't understand it when they were reading in their own private time. It's because he understands the mysteries of the word. And not only the mysteries, but all knowledge. He's not limited just to the mystery. He has all knowledge about all things. You come to him about this. He knows what is the best route to take. What is the best way to handle it? How do you deal with this? What does the word say about it? He's got wisdom. What an ability. But then he goes on to say, and though I have all faith, not some faith, all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Listen to this. His faith's so strong that he ain't moving a mountain, he's moving mountains. He just go around. I believe I'll move this mountain today. I'll move this one today. He just goes on. In other words, his faith is that strong, nothing stands before him as an obstacle. Power. Power. But look at what the word says. And have not charity or love, the God kind of love. He says, am nothing. Here's the best interpretation for that word nothing in this context. I am
Did you hear what I just said? I am void. Listen, I can do all of these wonderful things, but in the end, if it does not emanate from God's love, if it doesn't hail from, come from the love of God, and I operate in that love, then he says, I am void. I am void of God's experience, God's love dwelling on the inside of me. No matter what I do, it's not greater than who I am. And so when I recognize that I don't have the love of God in me, it doesn't matter what great feats I accomplish. In the end, it's all for nothing. It's void. What a waste, Paul says. If at the end of life I preached and saved countless souls and I myself become a castaway. If that's not void, tell me what is. Save all of these folk from going to hell and then lift my eyes up in hell. That's void. And so many people don't understand. You can do good for other folk. You can help other folk. You can bless other folk and still end up void yourself. They're going on their way. They've got the message. They understand what you've said. They have turned from their wicked ways. They're following Christ. They're rejoicing the fact that God used you to turn them around to him, and now their lives are on the right track, and they're going on with it, and yet you miss out and come to naught. What a tragedy when in heaven they look for you and say, Jesus, I just want to meet the brother that led me to you. Jesus said, unfortunately, he's not here. Well, he is coming, isn't he, Jesus? No. He didn't make it. What indictment that would be against someone who has given their life and end up as a castaway? You think about it. That's why it's time out for playing church. A whole lot of folk, with the way that they act in here and live out there, there's a good brother close to me that says they're going to hell if they don't stay but 3 days. And I got another one that tells me about what other kind of clothing they've got on going to hell. But, you know, here's the point. I have discovered this much, that if they go to hell, they ain't coming back. Because Jesus went to hell so that we didn't have to go to hell. The closest we do is experience the hell here on earth. But that hell was not made for us. Made for Satan and his angels, and that's who it's for. But if we act like one of his, God will permit us to have entrance in that place where our Father is. That's what Jesus told many of those who were religious but not righteous. You're like your father, Satan, a liar. There's no truth in him. And they understood not, because he was speaking a message of love. And my last point, and I'm closing, he goes on to say, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, he's talking about in verse 3, valuable gifts and vain glory. Valuable gifts and vain glory. Look at what he goes on to say. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now you think about what you have right now. If you liquidated everything you have to feed the poor,